Title of this lesson is Jesus, Our Shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus came to this earth. Jesus gave His life. And this is one of the things, as a shepherd, as they watched over the flock, they gave their life and tried to keep the lives and save the lives of the sheep. It's foretold in the Old Testament a prophecy and the promise of a shepherd. It would be glad tidings for the cities of Judah in Isaiah the 40th chapter and verses 9 through 11. Zion, herald of a good news. Go up on a high mountain, Jerusalem, herd of good news. Raise your voices loudly, raise it up. Not to be afraid, says the cities of Judah. Here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with strength, and His power establishes His rule. His reward is with Him, and His gifts accompanying Him. He protects His flocks like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms. He carries them in the fold of His garment. He greatly leads those that are nursing. This was a promise that there would be a shepherd coming. Even though Israel was not following the way they should, they were also looking for this shepherd. He would be greater. Israel as a shepherd does his flocks. In Jeremiah the 10th verse, nations hear the words of the Lord. Tell it among the far off coastlands. Say, the one who scatters Israel will gather him. He will watch over them as a shepherd guards his flocks. They are looking that God has promised that He will give them a shepherd that will be looking over them. He would feed them. A type of David, who would be an ancestor. In Ezekiel 14 and 23, I will appoint over them a single shepherd, my servant David, and he will shepherd them. He will tend them himself, and he will their will be their shepherd. These are a lot of the promises when Israel was not following God and whenever they were about to be taken into captivity. It is revealed in the New Testament is that Jesus is that shepherd. He is a good shepherd who will bring other sheep into His field. And we'll be dealing with the 10th chapter and of John in a little bit here. He is the chief shepherd. Who has other shepherds watching His flock? And this is referring to the elders. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and the 4th verse should start in the 2nd one. Shepherds, God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but freely according to God's willing, not for money, but eagerly, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive unfading crowns of glory. The ones that are eldering, they are considered shepherds. They shepherd the flock here. Christ, though, is the chief shepherd. He gave His life. Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought you up from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, with the blood of the everlasting covenant. What did Christ as a shepherd do? He gave his life. He gave his blood. He gave his blood to save us. His life. The morphet of the shepherd is revealing the pictures of a blessing enjoyed by those who follow Jesus. And one of the things, as we get into this study, is are we following Jesus? He is leading. He's given us a way. And are we following it? It should remind us of the duties we have as His sheep. As we get into this study, we'll be reminded of what the duties or what our duties are. What can be gleaned from the Scriptures? Jesus, our shepherd, certainly there are. There are a lot of things as we look at Christ as He is our shepherd and as we are His sheep. The blessings of Jesus, our shepherd. He gave His life for us. He tore down, He laid down His life for His sheep. As foretold in the Old Testament, in Zechariah 13 and 7, but it's reiterated in Matthew, the 28th chapter, or 26th chapter, and verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "Tonight all of you will run away because of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Christ, and really if you look through, and especially look through the book of John, Christ keeps telling the disciples, His apostles, "My life on this earth is short. I'm here for a certain purpose. This is what's going to happen." But till it happened, they did not understand until after His death, after He had been hung on the cross and He had raised from the dead. Then they understood. Do we understand? As Jesus told His disciples, He would do. You can turn over to John, the 10th chapter, and we're going to be in that chapter most of the night. Verses 11 and verse 15. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep." And right here, I want to read a little deal on what a shepherd is and what a shepherd does. One who who tends animals at pastures. This was the occupation of Abraham and of his descendants until their settlement in the Promised Land. They were nomads of the desert region, who lived in tents and moved from place to place to find pasture for their flocks. The shepherd who spent all of his time with his flocks came and named and knowed each sheep and goat separately. Each animal knew his individual calling. The shepherd went armed with a stick or a stout club, which often had a hook on the end. The club was used as a weapon against wild animals, the hook to catch a sheep, or to lift a fallen lamb. A worthy shepherd came to have a great effect for his sheep and would risk his own life for them. The hired shepherd was required to give an account for every sheep at the end of the pasturing season. If a wild animal killed a sheep, the hired shepherd sought to find some small piece. In Amos 3 and 12, these remnants were kept as proof that he had not killed, eaten the sheep. The relationship of the shepherd and the sheep is made the symbol of God's relationship to Israel. And in the New Testament, the work of Jesus for his own. We have a great shepherd. Notice what the shepherds did. They laid down their life for the flocks. They attended to the flocks. They fed the flocks. If someone was in trouble, he used his staff to rescue them. He used his staff also to beat the wild animals off the flock and to save them. Thus he is able to offer eternal life to his sheep. In 10:28, I gave them eternal life, and they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. He says, nobody's going to snatch them out of their hand. He said, I'm going to protect them. In 1 John 5, 11 and 13, and this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And the one who has the Son has life. The one who doesn't have the Son of God does not have life. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, this is the... I'm going to quit there. But we get the hint. Christ. Through him we have eternal life. Christ gave his life so that we might have that. Offerings were secured to those who continued to believe, such that none can snatch them from the hands of God. Though one can fall from God's hands through neglect. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. And verse 12 through 15. Watch out, brother, so that there won't be in any of you an evil or unbelieving heart that departs from the living God. But encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by his sins as deception. For we have become companions of the Messiah if we hold firmly until the end of the reality that we had at the start. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in rebellion. We can fall. No one can snatch us from Christ, but through neglect, we can be lost. We can come out of his hands and no longer be in the safe hands of Christ. But it's through our neglect. It's not through his. How he cares for you. Having called through the gospel, John 10 and 3, the door keepers open it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He calls them by name, and he leads them. He leads them out. He leads us. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14, and you can look that one up. Having gathered us into his one fold, even the Gentiles. And this is where the shepherd, where Christ came. And notice, in John 10:16, he says, "But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd." And if we get over to the Ephesians, the second chapter, 11 through 22, but we're going to just look at the first few verses there. And we're going to look at about three or four verses here. The unity in Christ. "So then, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by those called the circumcision, done by hand in the flesh. But at that time you were without the Messiah, included from the citizenships of Israel, excluded from the citizenships of Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, which no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were afar off have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall, the hostility in his flesh." We read in John where he had other sheep to bring in. He was talking about the Gentiles. When he gave his life, shed his blood, he came to make us all one. We were without before that time. Israel was the chosen people. But now, all nations, all people, and that's through Christ. Christ came, he gave, and he now is trying to gather other sheep, the Gentiles. As the good shepherd, he knows us. In John 10, chapter again, 14th verse, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me." Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." He says, "I know my sheep," and he says, "they know me, and they follow my voice," just as I read about a shepherd. He feeds them. In John 10:9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." If he will enter the door through Christ, Christ will lead him to a pasture. That means studying his word. If you won't pick up your Bible and you won't read anything in the scriptures, how are you going to be fed? You're not going to know what Christ wants. You're not going to know what God wants. If you don't pick up your Bible and you don't read at it. And sometimes we don't read as much as we should. But when you don't pick it up at all and never read it, you never will know anything. You can't be fed. He guides us. Verses 3 and 4. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They recognize him. They recognize the shepherd. They recognize the head shepherd. If we don't read his word, we can't hear his voice. He can't lead us. He cherishes them tenderly. And we're back over to Isaiah 40 and 11. But let's think about the cherish and the tenderly in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and verses 25. And he's talking to husbands. He says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. He says, for us to take care of it. Christ gave his life. He takes care of us and helps us. Just as he's using the husband-wife, what does the husband do with the wife? He takes care of that wife. He provides for that wife. Christ has taken care of us. He has provided for us. He has provided for everyone. But we have to be willing to follow him. If we're not willing to follow him, then he can't take care of us. He protects us and preserves us. Jeremiah 31 and 10 that we've already read. Nations hear the word of the Lord. They tell it among for far off coastlands and say, the one who scattered Israel will gather him, and he will watch over him as a shepherd guards his flock. The shepherd's going to look after us and guard over us. Christ is guarding over us if we will only let him. Are we letting him? That's the question for you, for me, for all of us. Are we letting Christ shepherd us and lead us? John 10, 28, 29. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Christ says, no one can snatch you. And we just looked at the way a little bit earlier. It's through our neglect that he can be, that we can be snatched from his hand. Wonderful all the blessings of Jesus our Savior, or our shepherd. Such blessings are prefigured in the most beautiful of the Psalms. We've already read that Psalm. Though I walk through the valley of death, he will be with us. He's our guide. He helps us. He leads us. And he guides us. He leads us by the still waters. If we'll let him. Our duties to Jesus, our shepherd. Jesus, our shepherd, and we have duties. His sheep hear his voice. Verses 2 and 3. And the one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And the doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them. Are we willing to hear his voice and be led by him? That's our duty. He'll watch over us, but are we willing to listen to him and follow him? That's the question. His sheep follow him. In the fourth verse, and when he has brought all of his own outside, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. Do we recognize the voice of Jesus? He leads. Can we follow him? Jesus expects his sheep to heed his voice. As he proclaimed in his earthly ministry, in Luke, the 6th chapter and 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say?" Christ asked the question, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do?" As he started is the Great Commission, Matthew 8, 28, 18 and 20. "And then Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of age.'" He says, "I'm with you. Go into all nations." "And teach them my commands." Which is we do today by heeding the words of the apostles. To receive is to receive him. John 13 and 20. "I assure you, the one who receives whatever I send receives me, and the one who receives me receives him who sent me." Are you receiving Christ? Are you receiving what the apostles have written here or written down here? This is from God, for Christ. "Thus was the early churches continued steadfast in the doctrine," Acts 2 and 42, daily. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. From house to house. "For they taught the commandments of the Lord." 1 Corinthians 14 and 37. "If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, he should recognize what I write to you in the Lord's commands." And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthians. And he says, "What I've written, you should recognize these commands. You should recognize them from the Lord. They're from the Lord." Paul said, "I didn't make these things up. It wasn't from me. It was from the Lord. Is a following the shepherd by heeding his voice? We should hold to his flocks. John the 10th chapter and verse 16. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and then they will be one flock and one shepherd. One flock and one shepherd. And that's what Christ came. Ephesians 4 and 4. One God, one baptism, one church, one body. All oneness. When you read in the Bible, everything you read is one, one, one. There's one Savior. There's one God.